KUJZ is 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Tannen, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
Ben Mann, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, to go, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
Elmo. Defending at the Elmo. Oh, that's Elbow. All right, welcome. Welcome to Sports Talk Wednesday as hell. I feel like we were busy the first hour. Talked with George Schroeder. Got the National View, a talk with Nigel Burton of the Pac-12 Network, got the Conference View, and, you know, he does a morning show on 620 in Portland talking about, you know, how the Blazers are going to need to gel with all those faces, and they're also going to have to get way better on defense. Man, there were moments in that, Washington State game? What? Golden State game the other night. I guess that was Monday. It's only Wednesday. Doe, a deer. Where, got to make a stop, got to dunk. Got to make a stop, got to make a four-footer. It's like, dude, guard the basket. This is not rocket science. They're not the same three-point shooting team they were when they had Steph and Clay and Durant. I mean, make a note. Those three guys are gone. And as a number one option, Draymond doesn't quite cut it. So the rankings are out, and now everybody knows where they stand, how they're viewed, and what they need to do. Or what they need to do and what they might need one or two other teams to do. So maybe the most nutty story of the week so far that just... One of the things of knowing a lot and following along and social media and the overcoverage is you learn that athletes are tough competitors. They're tough in the games they play, and they find it easier to like get blitzed by a linebacker and a 275-pound end who could run a 4.6 40, but They're thin-skinned when it comes to criticism and hearing about it. So Mitch Trubisky, who is not having a good autumn, so the Bears, if you know the history, George Halas, Papa Bear, you know, half the stuff named inside that facility. So there's Halas Hall, and that's where you walk around and you have the TVs on. So Mitch Kumstein says he wants the TVs turned off so they could insulate the team from outside criticism. And I'm like, so are you watching it while you're practicing? Are you watching it while you're showering up or going through your treatment if you, you know, take an ice bath or a massage or if you're working out at the facility? You can't afford a $49.99 set of headphones to put your favorite jams on or something like that? Schefter, my wife traded and they're not going to re-sign me. And it's like, wow, you're football players. The goal of the other team is like, see that guy who plays quarterback for the Bears? Crush him. Well, legally. Don't use your helmet. don't take a step, don't hit him below, careful if he slides, and watch him outside the pocket. But otherwise, they really want to get a big hit on you. So you're okay with that. Maybe the as insane a sport as exists in civilized society. But somebody on TV saying, well, it, not even saying, just describing what you just did. You know, they're talking about where he is now. I mean, he might not even reach 2,500 passing yards or throw for more than 10 touchdowns. He's got 5 TDs. He's next to last among starters in quarterback rating. It's like 35, 34-8. They're ranked near the bottom. They had 9 net yards in Sunday's loss to the Eagles. They did not get a first down until the last minute of the first half. They've lost 4 in a row, and you've really first of all, what are you doing watching the analysts on TV? Go watch film. Go talk to your running back, your lineman, your receiver, your offensive coordinator. Go talk to Mark Helfrich.
The only thing that would make it better is if he said, I know how bad I am. I know I'm doing a really bad job. I know it's not good.
I would rip
you. Everybody here is bad. I really don't need to hear it from you guys right now. I'm having a bad day, and I know it, okay? Just let me deal with it myself. Just like when you get really grumpy with somebody.
Shut the TVs?
Yeah, you just need to be you just need to be locked away from the outside world. You just need to sit down in a dark room, take a couple of long naps, and you just kind of... You slowly get over it. The last thing you need is a lot of people tweeting you and yelling at you at the TV and the radio or podcasts or music. Just like, oh, Mitch Trubisky, that guy's garbage. Yeah, it would feel pretty bad, man.
The problem here is it's TV. You really, it's not like Clockwork Orange where they took Malcolm McDowell, strapped him into his seat, and used toothpicks to keep his eyes open. Walk past it, into the locker room, change. I'm sure you got a cool car. Maybe I think we saw you had a beautiful wife or a girlfriend. Go to the movies. Go out to an expensive dinner. You probably live in a gated community. Change the channel. Put on HGTV. Do House Hunters International. Fantasize about your life after football. Because trust me, most Bears fans are fantasizing about life when you're no longer playing football for their team. You know, kind of jump on the, oh my God, what the hell is that?
The suit.
Who's? P.J. Tucker.
Obviously.
It is a referee who got attacked by a lion and his clothes got ripped. That's a terrible look.
He's wearing the Beetlejuice suit.
Right, right. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Okay, see, that's...
Steve, come up. There's one rule here.
Well, there's two rules. You can't say a couple of phrases, which please don't even say them, because I think we will get sued and we'll both lose our jobs. That's the rule number one. Rule number two is you don't mention Beetlejuice's name 3 times. I don't even know what's supposed to happen, but now he's coming. So thanks.
That was a creepy movie. A young Winona Ryder, who now plays the mother of teenagers on Stranger Things, where... From, what was it, Mermaids with Cher and Reality Bites. Winona disappeared. Remember, she wasn't in a lot of feature films for a couple of years. And then you found out she ended up getting picked up for shoplifting. And this was kind of her comeback. I always kind of had a thing for Winona Ryder. All right, 284, which, by the way, I'm sure she's putting at the top of her resume. 59-year-old guy doing a radio show and Eugene thinks I'm attractive. Hey, everybody, back off. I'm the you-know-what. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So let's talk a little Duck men's basketball. Who's at the game last night? Show of hands. Saw our brother, our buddy Brad and his son. Well, he's kind of a brother in radio arms. He was there. Almost 7,000 on hand. It was on Pac-12 Network. First look at a team off of Sweet 16 that, last night's rotation was kind of interesting because you had the 3 returners, Okoro, Pritchard, who started, Will Richardson off the bench. You had the three new guys who aren't freshmen, who are transfers. Justin, who he's the fellow Jersey boy, right? Yeah, he's from Eastside High in Newark. You also had Chris Duarte, who played very well. He's a starter. He's a JUCO guy who's from the DR, Dominican Republic. And who am I leaving out here? Oh, Anthony Mathis. Anthony Mathis, who's a transfer, who was a backcourt mate of Peyton when they went to West Lynn, who was a terrific player for the last couple years at New Mexico. Then you had the other three, the freshmen. C.J. Walker, who's kind of a tweener, 6'8", 200, out of Oak Ridge High in FLA. You also had Chandler Lawson from Memphis, also a freshman with some size, 6'8". You know, they're all kind of these wing-style players, I guess, so we'll have to see. And Addison Patterson from a college prep school in Milton, Ontario, also freshman. So you had the three transfers, the three returning studs, and the three true freshmen. And I think what you heard from Coach Altman was, well, first of all, I was listening to Joey Mack when we were driving back from the game. And he was talking with Dana, who, by the way, congratulations. He's now the all-time winningest coach at Oregon. He's also the all-time winningest coach at Creighton. Now, sometimes you'll have a coach who has a great career, be it Brian Kelly at Grand Valley State. You know, he's a legend at the Division II level. Jim Tressel won a national championship, I think, at Youngstown State before he took over at Ohio State. Guy we talked about a couple weeks ago with George Schroeder, Chris Kleiman at Kansas State, who at North Dakota State won four of the last five national championships. And, you know, now he's taken over at K-State. But with a guy like Altman, you have to understand, when it historically, when it came to mid-majors, the Missouri Valley was up there. You know, a lot has changed in recent years, and now, you know, Creighton is in the, you know, I'm trying to think how long ago it was that you had Bradley and Creighton and some of those schools that, you know, the Missouri Valley was always, you know, you had Conference USA, you got to go back farther to when, like, Louisville, Cincinnati, you know, would contend for natties out of Conference USA. And what's the other league? I'm trying, the Colonial Athletic Association, where, you know, George Mason in 2006 made the Final Four. But, you know, if you go back even, what, like 11 years ago, and you look at, you know, a colonial like the Missouri. What the hell does that mean? So you had Southern Illinois, Creighton, Illinois State. Remember Northern Iowa pulled that big upset against Kansas. Indiana State was in the Missouri Valley with Bird. Wichita State was a terrific team out of that conference. You know, they were a mid-major that always provided a team that was a threat to either go to the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight, and then you started to have all this moving around. But let me tell you something, a program like Creighton, which had been to the Big Dance many, many times, and Coach Altman took them there multiple times. He didn't really ever make a real big move when he was with the Blue Jays. And if memory serves, I don't think he ever made it past the second round. But by the time the late 2000s roamed around, things had started to change. And the Missouri Valley had lost a little bit of its luster. Some teams had started to move. I mean, he was the coach there from, just trying to think, how many years going back? From 94, 95, all the way up to 2009, 2010. And he had that run from 99 to 07, where he was in the tournament every year but one. And like I said, they're a team that has a really good tradition. Red McManus had them in an Elite Eight twice in the 1960s. Eddie Sutton was a coach there before he moved on to Oklahoma State. They had a guy named Tom Apke who won some conference titles and took him to the dance in the Missouri Valley in the 80s. And, you know, for a team that's been playing D1 ball since, you know, World War I, and he's the winningest coach at two, which you would call major programs, it's like, we'll drink that in for a little bit. And I didn't read the write-up. Anybody else have that record for a mid-major and a Power 5 league? I mean, obviously, as you go around, you know, you have Dean Smith at North Carolina. I would say Coach K is probably the all-time winningest coach at Duke. I'm going to feel pretty confident there. Probably the Wizard of Westwood and Lute Olson at Arizona. Who's the all-time winningest coach at Iowa? Lute Olson coached at Iowa, did some good work there, thus landing the Arizona job. He was at Iowa. Yeah, he was only there. Well, only. He was there for 10 years. Took him to the NCAA tournament 1, 2, 3, 4, his last 5 years there, winning, you know, 23, 21, 22, 21 games. So, no, it's an amazing feather in the cap, no question about it. And, well, we'll hear from him in a little bit. For any of you who were there, what did you think of the game? Oh, somebody said that Jim Calhoun is the all-time winningest coach at UConn and Northeastern. Northeastern, interestingly, shows up because that's who the Oregon women open against for real next week. And look at that. He went 248 and 137 at Northeastern. And obviously at UConn, you know, with the three natties and 629 wins. To go Johnny Carson, I did not know that. I'd really like to know the answer to that. Who else? Jim Calhoun coached there. Yeah, I'll tell you what. They've only been around since the 1970s. So Rudy Keeling, Ron Everhart, Bill Cohen's been there since 2006, but he has not won. So that looks like we have a winner. We have a winner. And that, now they're a team that's moved around and is now in the Colonial Athletic. So good get there by an observant texter. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you want to jump on in. Yeah, somebody mentioned before Conference USA, Louisville, Cincinnati, and when they were known as Memphis State, played in the old Metro League. What'd you say, knucklehead?
Not a state.
I forgot who I said.
Memphis State.
Oh, Memphis? Where the hell is Memphis? Yeah, Louisville, for those years in particular, under Denny Crum, would schedule one of the most killer non-conference schedules. And then they would get into, I guess, first Metro League play, and they didn't join Conference USA until 1995. And so that means he's 100% right. I was off there. They won their national championship with Purvis, I Never Get Nervous, Ellison in 86 out of the Metro. And in 1980, when ironically they beat UCLA and a coach named Larry Brown. As a matter of fact, they were also in the Missouri Valley in the 1960s into the 1970s. So, yeah, good information there. But that, but at the end of the day, you have Dana Altman, the winningest coach at two Division I programs. And, you know, obviously at Oregon, the acceleration is notable because, you know, you had the great work that Coach Kent did where they hadn't been a tournament team once since the 1960s. Then he got him in 2000 and Elite Eight 2002, back in the tournament 2003, and then 2007, 2008. So after making it once between 1961 and 1999, you know, he made it five times between 2000 and 2008. And then all of a sudden, with Dana Altman, I mean, you look at those win totals of 28, 31, 33, 25, 26, six appearances in the NCAA tournament, Sweet 16, Final Four, and it's just, it's remarkable. And, you know, the record of 327 wins at Creighton, now 235, with, you know, if you look at now his last 830 games, his winning percentage is high. It's 67, 68%. He's won 71% of his games with Oregon. Impressive. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline, if you want to jump on in. Before we take a break, how about we give a quick shout-out to our friends at Papa John's, who hooked the whole office up with a lunch today. And they have a special deal, a large one-topping garlic parmesan crust pizza for $10. But you got to log on and use the code CHEESYCRUST. And it's the first time they've added flavor to the original crust. It's made with six ingredients. It's fresh. It's never frozen. So their special garlic sauce is baked into the crust, topped with buttery artesian Parmesan Romano. You'll have an even more indulgent pizza experience. And to Tim and the folks at Papa John's, locally owned, much appreciate their longtime generosity and support. All right, that brings us to break time. We'll do that. We'll come back. We'll have an update. More sports talk, 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk, sponsored in part by Guarantee RV Supercenters, the first and only RV dealership to offer service 7 days a week. Big city selection and country savings. Visit them online at Guarantee.com.
Pleased with our board effort. You know, that's a big team, physical team. The turnovers, obviously, you know, the first half led to 11 points, and then for the game, 18. We usually win that battle, you know, when we're playing good. We just had guys, you know, going behind their back, turning it over for layups and that. So our freshmen played like freshmen. Those three guys are just a lot better, and we're going to need them.
We're not going to be here.
That was...
I'm not going to be here.
Which, by the way, you know who's not going to be here tonight? Kawhi Leonard is sitting out game against the Bucks under the load management / knee injury / illness designation.
I'm a fun guy.
How many better matchups are there right now in the NBA than the Greek Freak versus Kawhi? And fans getting denied that. You know, never mind. The whole load management thing, I kind of get it because it's a ridiculous investment and the goal of the Clippers this year is to vie for their first title. But the joy of the sports we follow are the great matchups. It's obviously not a perfect system. There's legitimacy on both sides, but come on, Giannis versus Kawhi. God knows I don't ask you for much. So what do we got? A doubleheader tonight? Bucks Clippers. And by the way, I'm sure ESPN is thrilled. Kawhi's not playing the night we got him on Wednesday Night Hoops. Post World Series. Not a lot happening in college football. Thanks, guys. We're real happy to be partners with your league. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
That's what I think most of this complaining is coming from, because it's a lot of ESPN people that are probably hearing that their bosses are mad that this decision is being made because their ratings will be down, and thus the maximum number of eyeballs on their product and their advertisements will be down as well, because people come to watch the players in the NBA. And then, you know, it bounces around to other people that are like, yeah, why isn't he playing? Blah, 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 blah. But it's just like ESPN's mad they're not going to be making as much money or having as many eyeballs on this event is kind of all it comes down to. And I personally don't care about ESPN's ratings.
I would offer this. Because the Clippers and the Bucks don't play in the same conference, it's the only chance for the visitors to see the Clippers. So the fans who bought these tickets a week ago, you can put yourself in the place of the fans saying, wow, all of a sudden, Clippers versus Bucks is a huge game. Kawhi versus Antetokounmpo, and now he's not playing. Crappy. I want my money back.
But the game's in L.A., where more
I didn't know that.
The game is in L.A., where more L.A. Clipper fans will be able to see
right.
Kawhi afterwards.
I'm backing down.
And Giannis will be playing.
I actually did the reverse math. I moved time zones and added instead of subtracted. Clock.
Bad math. But normally that's my thing,
yeah,
so thank
really.
You for taking that
yeah.
over from the show.
Of all the things I could get from you, math I got to adopt. Great. I'm really excited about the future. All right. 284. So check that and screw the LA fans. I'm now totally in favor of his load management philosophy for tonight. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So, did anybody hear Nate Boyer on the Pat McAfee show this morning? Because I live really close to our, we live real close to our son and daughter-in-law and grandson, like four blocks. And he gets dropped off in the morning. And normally I walk him to Fairfield Elementary. It's really close. But because it was crappy, plus my workout ran long and he was having breakfast and hanging out with grandma, so I drove him there. And I'm in the car. I'm listening to this interview. Now, it's a six-block trip. And now I'm captivated. So I'm sitting in the lot at the school. And I'm listening to it. And then I'm driving, and now I'm at the point where I'm sitting in my driveway and I'm listening to it. Is it Nate Boyer? Do I have the wrong name?
Wouldn't surprise me.
He was a Green Beret. Somebody help me out here. I'm a complete idiot. And because I was driving, I didn't want to pull over and jot the information down.
Nate Boyer, football log snapper, friends with Pat Tillman. Have you been saying Dan Boyer?
No, I said Nate. I guess.
Okay.
So I screwed up the math. Now I have no confidence and I'll never get anything right again. I hope you're all happy.
It's okay. It's just, you know, it's Wednesday. You power through. We're halfway through with our show today. Literally halfway through with the show. You've had a couple down moments. You've got literally half of the show to just go on the up.
Rally.
You know?
I've got to finish strong.
Yeah.
So he was a Green Beret and he was talking about when he was deployed to Afghanistan. And so he's a machine gunner who's providing cover. So a sniper opens fire. And he's talking about the football mentality. And think, I want you to think long and hard about the words he's saying, because I was just completely captivated. This is his mentality. He's halfway across the world. serving his country, getting shot at by a sniper, and his mentality, because it was the off season and he, you know, was preparing to go back to camp. He's like, man, if I get hit by a bullet, I hope it's clean, a through and through. He said, I hope it doesn't hit my elbow or a place that would, you know, cause me to miss time. And I'm like, that's what you're thinking right then and there? A sniper opens fire on your unit or your platoon, and you're so much of a badass, you're like, I hope this isn't going to cause me to miss any time in camp. I don't even know what to say to that. I don't even know how to respond to that.
That's crazy person talk. That's actually
crazy
person talk.
Is that tough guy,
talk.
Calm guy, or borderline nuts? Well, or soldier mentality?
Because
once you sign up, I think for the average person, you can't even fathom being in that situation.
Well, I think it's tough, crazy, and calm that leads to soldier, which leads you...
out of the realm of most logic.
Yeah, it leads me as a not that person to think differently of you and think that you're crazy when you're just perfectly fine. But you're... I can't even think of other situations that I've been in that have kind of been like life or death or something weird's been going on. And just in the middle of it, I'm like,
you're that calm.
I really hope. Oh, you know what? It wasn't a sniper shooting.
Yeah, you really haven't been in a sniper shooting recently in a crow's nest.
Believe it or not, I haven't. But when I was in sixth grade, we were playing a game called basketball kickball, which was a combination of kickball. But to get people out, you had to make a free throw. And I was playing that game, and I jumped up into the air to try and make a catch, and I collided with my friend Chris, and I fell to the ground. I tried to brace my fall, and I dislocated my thumb, and it popped out, and it looked really gross, and I'd never broken a bone before. I didn't know what was going on, and I panicked, and I started to cry, and the only thing going through my mind was, I don't know how I'm going to explain this to my grandma. It was just like, what am I supposed to tell her? Like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean for my thumb to break. Like, do I go home now? Like, it was the end of the day.
It's over. But what goes through your mind?
Just the complete wrong thought in that moment. And, you know, until, you know, the I think they called an ambulance for some reason because our nurse was not probably actually a nurse, and all they had were frozen sponges as ice packs.
So are you saying you can't always count on the sympathy card from a parent or a grandparent?
Possibly. Maybe? Yes? No? I don't know.
Here's a story of the least sympathetic I've ever seen a parent, and it is such a typical East Coast Italian parent who will sometimes be like, yeah, I would take a bullet for my kids. Other times I'll want to hit them with the wooden spoon and backhand them through a wall. That's the mentality of that what we grew up in the 60s or 70s. So... my buddy Eddie and I are going to take, I had to get permission. So I'm taking his bus home, going to spend the night at his house. We're in bowling leagues the next morning. So his neighbor, Ronnie Pia, we're playing catch waiting for the bus. He slips and falls in a little dog poop.
Oh, no.
All right. Oh. So now he's sitting on the bus kind of on one cheek because he's got the poop on his butt, on his pants. And he stinks. And everybody is making fun of him. You smell. You can imagine. We're like in fifth grade. So.
Wait, you're in a bowling league in fifth grade?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, have you been 97?
No. Our bowling league, T-ball bowling for 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade was awesome. A bunch of kids bowling the next Saturday morning, keep us out of trouble. And then once it got into spring, we go from bowling to baseball.
Okay, wow.
Because
so
we were basically the ones that didn't play football.
So your fall indoor cold outside activity was bowling instead of basketball or whatever.
Yeah. I'll explain one thing that happened. But anyway, so Ronnie's mom was quite the character. She was the one who, she's the first one I remember holding a baby with, like you saw in Mad Men, with a glass of wine and a cigarette. You know, hi kids, you go sit down, I'll bring you a treat. So, Ronnie falls in dog poop. It's smeared on his pants. Everybody is tearing him a new one. So he's almost in tears, and he gets to the door, and he's like, Mom, everybody's making fun of me. Here's Mrs. P and Mrs. Sensitivity. Well, you stink! I don't know how the hell we wound up on this topic. We started out with Nate Boyer getting shot at by a sniper and wound up with Mrs. Pia telling her kid he stinks because he fell in dog poo coming as he's near tears. Unbelievable. All right. Anyway, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So, fast forward, it's now our last year before high school. And so, our bowling team, we were the Packers. Everybody got to pick an NFL team. And the Giants and Jets and we got to pick third, I think. And that was like our pet team. So, we bowl a practice game. And we bowl our three games. Now it's our opening practice for baseball season. And it's March. It's pretty cold in New Jersey. And we get to practice late, and I'm playing center field. And now we're doing drills where the ball's hitting the air or line drive, and the coach is yelling where to hit. Hit your cutoff. Hit third. Play to home. So I went from bowling four games to throwing without warming up. From the outfield, I'll tell you what, I remember that pain to this day. And I'm like, what are you doing? And the coach is like, you bowled four games and you didn't tell me, and I send you out to center field to do throwing drills. I remember he was like pissed at me. All right, they're taking you through the trials and tribulations of my youth. From a sporting perspective,
I've never heard of a bowling league for children. Like, I've done bowling.
Really?
I've done birthday parties at bowling alleys, and I really wanted to do one when I went to one of my friends. And you get a bowling pin, and then they hand out Sharpies, and all your friends sign them, and everybody there. And I was like, that's the coolest thing in the world. I want to have a bowling pin. I don't know why I would want my friends to sign it, but I want a bowling pin. And, you know, I've gone bowling and hung out and done all that. I've always thought that like bowling leagues were like for grandmothers that were retired. Like my grandparents were both in bowling leagues when they lived in Santa Cruz for a really long time with my dad growing up. So I just assumed, you get old and, you know, if your arm still works, you can bowl. You just get really good at bowling.
Somebody help us out here. Are there kids bowling leagues anymore? Or did they take a look at us in the mid-70s and like, that's enough of that? All right.
Just a mass PSA went out over, just an emergency broadcast that this is the end of children's bowling leagues. We've seen what's happened with Steve Tannen in New Jersey. It's the end of it all.
We don't know what we can do. We know we can't go on like this anymore. All right. Before we take a break, I want to remind you, Tap and Growlers got their third annual Bourbon Fest going on. There isn't a Bourbon Fest for me here. Tap and Growler, 5th and Pearl, downtown Eugene. And it started on Monday. This is 7 days of festivities that runs through Sunday the 10th. Newly added, very extensive cocktail program, Bourbon Fest, be better than ever. They've got some twists on classic cocktails, bourbon-inspired food specials, barrel-aged beers, live music every night. I mean, you read some of these specialty bourbon bottles. Russell's Reserve Single Barrel Downtown Liquor Select. All this. So the third annual Bourbon Fest with live music taking place every night through Sunday at Tap and Growler, 5th and Pearl, downtown Eugene. All right. Before we take a break, as you've probably learned by now, if you are a regular, we've got our buddies from Green Hill come in every Wednesday. We call it Yay Day. It's our pet of the week. So give a listen on 95.3, The Score. All right, folks. Wednesday, of course, means Yay Day around here. Time to talk with our buddies from Green Hill. And today we have a special guest who's popped in occasionally. Megan is in. How are you doing, Megan?
Great. Thanks for having us.
How's life at Green Hill now, the new facility? It just looks beautiful, all going well.
It's going great. We are so excited. Getting the finishing touches on phase one, and we just started phase two, building out our vet clinic. So we're working on finishing fundraising to make sure we can fill that with all the equipment we need to give higher quality and more care to more animals.
You know, this might sound like an odd question, but, you know, when you deal with food banks and sometimes there's a time of year where people look for donations, is there like a time of year, does it matter, winter, spring, summer, or fall, where people surrender dogs or you find them, or is it just pretty consistent?
Summertime is when a lot of people are out and about. Animals get out, so we see a lot of strays. And then we usually see around the holidays a lot of adoptions, and we always want to make sure people are adopting for the right reasons,
right,
not just to bring a present.
Because it's cute.
Yes, we want to make sure it's a year-round. But we're really fortunate that, you know, we get donations, et cetera, year-round. Holidays are always a great time to give, though. You know, we are open for surrenders anytime someone finds themselves in a position where they can no longer care for their animal. Please call first, but we are there for you. That is our job.
All righty. And before we get into the nuts and bolts of what folks would need to do to give a dog or any pet their forever home, we have a very smiley guy in the house today.
That's right. We have Buddy. He is a sweet pity mix with a big smile and a very wiggly tail. He's 4 years old. He's like a black with little white paws.
He's beautiful.
Oh, he's just gorgeous and so happy. And Buddy was a surrender with someone that could no longer care for him. And he has some slight skin allergies, but the minute we got him, we started treating him, it has been an overnight success. His hair's all growing back. He's happy. It's just regulated food and he's on Benadryl until everything heals.
Sometimes just the stress and moving around.
Absolutely.
But some people were put on this earth to be a sibling. Buddy's best as an only child.
He's an only pet, yes. Buddy needs all of your heart, and he doesn't want to share it with anyone else. He definitely needs to be an only dog. He's probably not going to be great in apartment situation because if he hears or sees other dogs, he gets very excited. So we want to make sure that he's the only dog and getting all the love he deserves. But he's super active and he's wonderful with children. If anything, his wiggly tail might just you know, get him a little overexcited. But he loves kids. He loves humans. And of course, he loves long walks. He's got a lot of energy.
Yeah, he looks like a good play partner. We always say with the tail like that, especially with my wife and I, we have a lower coffee table. It's like, don't knock over the wine.
Happy tail. Exactly. Move your wine glasses or put it on a higher table.
Right. And of course, for folks who are listening and are like, yes, we've thought about it. This is what we want to do. We want to give a dog their forever home. We know the website, green-hill.org. What do they need to know? What's the process, Megan?
The best thing you can do is start on our website, look at all the pictures of the animals that we give, great descriptions. Our staff are, you know, great at making sure everyone knows all the information. We're very transparent with what's going on with each animal and what their needs are. Once you find an animal or a couple and you're ready to come meet some, we just highly suggest you come on out. Give it time. We don't like to rush the situation. And if you find an animal, cat, dog, bunny, that you're in love with and ready to bring into your family, you fill out an application and you get a counseling session with one of our professional, either kennel managers, cattery managers, or small animal managers, and to make sure it's a good fit.
Right.
If it's a great fit, you pay an adoption fee. That adoption fee goes to vaccinations, dental care, health for all the animals. So it goes to a great place. And you get to take your baby home. And if you have a dog already at home, we just ask that you bring that dog to do a meet and greet with, if
right,
you're interested in another dog. And our staff will kind of handle that.
Yeah, well, it's better to get it right than fast.
Exactly. Sometimes we have people come in and they're in
a
hurry.
I want a dog now.
I want it now, I have to go have an appointment. So we just like to say, just give it some time. We really don't like to rush things, and we're very thorough because we want to make sure it's a great fit for everybody involved.
All right, awesome. Always a pleasure to see you guys.
Thanks.
Appreciate
so
you
much.
Coming by.
Thank you.
Again, learn more, visit the website, green-hill.org. On Twitter, it's at Green Hill Humane. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more Sports Talk, 95.3 The Score.
We're riding the waves of technology just for you. You can call the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline at 284-8571. Text 321-0824. Tweet Steve at Sports Talk 95.3.
No real surprises. Ohio State up at one. The Buckeyes have been the most dominant team, most consistent team every week, and the committee honoring that. Biggest surprise might be that Clemson, the defending national champs, left out of the top four, at least from the start. Penn State moves up into the top four, having a great year. Big game this week with Minnesota, but Clemson fans, relax. If you went out, win the ACC, Clemson will still be in the top four and make the playoff.
Relax. My old man is a television repairman. He could totally get us into the playoffs. Kirk Herbstreit last night after
Tannenism.
The, I guess you could say the rankings dropped. And we learned 1 through 4, 5 through 8, who's hanging around, who needs a little bit of help, who needs to win out and get a lot of help. And here we sit on November 6th. And that's about 4 weeks later. If memory serves correctly, the BCS rankings used to come out like the first Monday in October. What was the movie? I think first Monday in October is like the tradition of when the Supreme Court meets for the first time after a break. I think it was a movie with Walter Matthau in the late 70s or early 80s about the first first woman Supreme Court justice. So, I don't know. These things, they stick in my mind. They disappear for a decade or two. And then I realize when it is, what it is, what day it is, and they resurface. They loom. They're like in the deep, deep recesses of your mind. Got NBA on now. Is there any college foosball tonight? We had Maction last night. You can't beat that. I don't think I watched 1 second of college football last night, from being at the Duck game to getting back home after seeing the college football rankings, and then we got into this show on Amazon. Jack Ryan, the dude who used to be on The Office. What's his name? Krasinski? John Krasinski. It's the second year he plays a military dude now. It's really intense. It's really well done. Great cast. Well acted. Neat storyline. Has a timely nature to it, dealing with certain dictatorships and corrupt politicians. And it's good stuff. Put it this way, if you've seen it, you're probably hooked. And then my wife's guilty pleasure, along with yours truly, This Is Us on NBC. So that was a high octane Tuesday evening in the Tannen household once we arrived home after the Ducks beat Fresno to start the season. And I forgot what the hell's the final. What, they beat him by 14?
51-57.
Yeah, that would also be in the neighborhood of 14. Well, the thing I forgot to mention, Oregon is supposed to be a really good shooting team. Well, they're going to have to work on that new three-point distance because they were 1 of 13. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with the 5 o'clock hour of Sports Talk, 95.3, The Score.
And that's the double truth, Ruth.